Janet Salter had not had a thick skull. The back of it was blown all over her favorite chair, driven deep into the split the exiting bullet had made in the stuffing. "I'll have plenty of time to read," she had said. "After all, this fuss is over." Reacher cradled his head in his hands, put his elbows on his knees, and stared down at the floor. "I am privileged," she had said. "Not everyone gets the opportunity to walk the walk." Reacher rubbed his eyes. His hands came away bloody. The ice spicules, driven on the wind, had peppered his face with 1,000 tiny pinpricks, unnoticeable when his flesh had been frozen. Now they were raising 1,000 tiny beads of blood. He rubbed both palms over every inch of his face like he was washing. He wiped his palms on his pants. He stared down at the floor, traced each whorl of muted color in the rug, one by one. When he reached the center of each meandering pattern, he stopped and raised his eyes. Janet Salter stared back at him. She was diagonally opposite him, a straight line, a vector. Left of the stair post, in through the library door, across its width to her chair, a small comma had formed below the bullet hole in her forehead. Not really blood, just ooze. Leakage. Each time he looked at her for as long as he could bear, and then he dropped his gaze again back to the rug. "I don't like getting beaten," he had said. "Better for all concerned that it just doesn't happen. Protect and serve. Always on duty." Empty words. He was a fraud, and a fake, and a failure. He always had been. He sat in the chair. No one came. The house hummed on around him. It didn't know. It made its noises, oblivious. Water moved in the pipes. A sash rattled in a frame. The busted back door creaked back and forth as it moved in the wind. Outside, the foliage hissed, and the whole frozen planet shuddered and groaned. He picked up the phone. He dialed the number he remembered. "You have reached the Bureau of Labor Statistics. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it at any time." He dialed 110. A click, a purr.
"Yes?"
Reacher said. "Susan, please."
"Who?"
"Amanda." A click, a purr. Susan said.
"Reacher?"
He didn't answer.
"Reacher? You okay?"
He said nothing.
"Talk to me, or hang up."
He asked her, "Have you ever been hungry?"
"Hungry? Of course. Sometimes."
"I was once hungry for 6 straight months in the Gulf. Desert Shield and Desert Storm. When we had to go throw Saddam out of Kuwait. We got there right at the beginning. We stayed there right to the end. We were hungry the whole time. There was nothing to eat. My unit, I mean. And some of the other rear echelon people. Which we thought was okay. We sucked it up. A big deal like that, there had to be snafus. Supply chains are always a problem. Better that whatever there was went to the guys doing the fighting. So no one made a big fuss. But it was no kind of fun. I got thin. It was miserable. Then we went home and I ate like a pig and I forgot all about it."
"And then?"
"And then years later we were on that Russian train. They had American rations. I was bored at the time. We got back and I made it a little project to find out what had been going on. Like a hobby. One thing led to another, and I traced it all back. Turned out, a logistics guy had been selling our food for 10 years. You know, a bit here, a bit there, all over the world. Africa, Russia, India, China. Anyone who would pay for crap like that. He was pretty careful. No one noticed the way the stockpiles were. But the Gulf caught him out. Suddenly there was a huge demand, and the stockpiles just weren't there anymore. He was shipping it to us on paper, but we were starving in the desert. The general? Recent promotion. He was a colonel most of the time. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he was reasonably cautious. His tracks were well covered. But I wouldn't let it go. It was him against me. It was personal. My people had been hungry because of him. I was in his bank accounts and everything. You know what he spent the money on?
What?
Not much. He saved most of it for his retirement. But he bought a 1980 Corvette. He thought it was a classic, like a collector's item. But the 1980 Corvette was the worst Corvette ever made. It was a piece of shit. They junked the 350 and put in a 305 for emissions. It was making 180 horsepower. I could run faster than a 1980 Corvette. Something just went off in my head. I mean, starving for some kind of a criminal mastermind would be one thing. Doing it for a complete idiot was something else. A complete, tasteless, clueless, sordid, pathetic little idiot.
So you hauled him in?
I built that case like it was Ethel Rosenberg. I was out of my mind. I checked it forward and backward and forward again. I could have taken it to the Supreme Court. I brought him in. I told him I was upset. He was in a Class A uniform. He had all kinds of busy work medals. He laughed at me, a kind of patronizing sneer, like he was better than me. I thought, you bought a 1980 Corvette, asshole, not me. So who's better? Then I hit him. I popped him in the gut to fold him over, and then I banged his head on my desk.
What happened?
I broke his skull. He was in a coma 6 months. He was never quite all there afterward.